This episode of the Intelligent Rebel Squadcast was brought to you by Black America, Inc., a Trillion Dollar Nation. Black America, Inc. is a piece of literature that details and illustrates the socioeconomic solutions that Black Americans can implement in their communities today. Whether it be being captains of our own industries, creating our own political parties, or just learning to strengthen our overall health and wealth, Black America, Inc. is what Black Americans and Americans in general need to get to the next level in 2017 and beyond. For too many years, we have been talking about the problems and not the solutions. For too many years, we have been pointing fingers at each other without talking about the solutions. This is why Black America, Inc. is important. If you're ready to build yourself up, rebuild your community, head on over to Amazon.com and order a copy of Black America, Inc. today. I'm trying to catch the beat. 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 Throw your motherfucking hands. Get them high. All the girls pass the weed to your motherfucking man. Get them high. Now I ain't never tell you to put down your hands. Keep them high. And if you're losing your high, then smoke again. Keep them high. Nah. My flow is in the pocket like Wallace. I got the bounce like hydraulics. I can't call it. I got the swirl like alcoholics. My freshman year, I was going through hella problems. Still, I built up the nerve to drop my ass up out of call.
You. Good morning. Good afternoon. And good evening. You intelligent, rebellious people. It is your boy, your host, Doe Dudes, coming back live again for episode 16 of the Intelligent Rebel Squad Cast. Today, we're talking about real estate, man. Now, you've seen me, you know what I'm saying? I've been doing my thing. I love the idea of owning my neighborhood. I love the idea of being able to buy a property where I live in my block and, you know, just all over my city that I live in, and to be able to be secure in the fact that I'm contributing to building my community back up. You know, you'll hear in the episode that on my block alone, man, there's a empty lot that was just torn down. It was once a laundromat. You dig what I'm saying? And that was just a pile of dirt. You know, I want that. There's an abandoned movie theater on my block. I want that. There's an abandoned house on my block. I want that. And what I'm trying to do is basically revitalize and renovate and just rebuild the community, yo. That's very important. So, I have my man, Lance, out there in Connecticut, man. He's already well-versed in real estate, and he's actually, doing his thing out there and buying up property and doing, you know, everything that he can to build up his community. You dig what I'm saying? Add more wealth into his pocket. So, this episode, he drops some gems, helps us out on how we can start getting into real estate, the importance of home ownership, over renting, just a whole bunch of gems that, you know, I feel like we can all learn from. So, knock on. Talk your ears off, man. You already know what you gotta do to get ready for this episode. Roll some, light some, and get ready for the Intelligent Rebel Squad Cast. You really fucking that much or trying to get on cigarettes? And she think it's fly, she ain't met a real nigga yet. No, I apologize if I come off a little inconsiderate. Real estate. So everybody know I've been tweeting about it. I've been getting more and more involved in real estate just because I feel like that's one of the main things next to business ownership that, you know, goes into building wealth. So I got my man, somebody I've been following for a while now. I've been learning from my man Lance is on the line. Say what up to the people, Lance.
Yes, sir. What's up to the people? It's Lance here. You know, here to give you some real estate knowledge, empower the people. Get this business going, and let's get this conversation flowing.
For sure, man. So we're gonna jump right into it. So, why real estate, bro? Why should people even, you know, care about real estate? What's so hot about real estate?
Real estate is just something that anybody can do. No degree, it's a class. You know, sign up $400, another maybe $1,200 to, you know, join a brokerage, and you can start selling. Or you can get a job working under, you know, a local investor. You can wholesale a deal and get your money up. It's, the barrier to entry isn't, it's just knowledge. All you need to know is the industry. industry, what's going on in your markets, maybe some investors, if anybody can get into it. I grew up thinking I don't want to work for anybody, and now as I'm older, a lot of billionaires make a lot of their money in real estate, and they preserve a lot of their money in real estate. So to me, real estate is the best industry. It's the best wealth creator. It's the best thing that somebody can do if they're looking for freedom. Even just buying a couple of houses and chilling from the cash flow.
That's exactly what attracted me to it. Just throughout my progression in life, you know, just being a father, you know, soon to be husband, you know, the first thing on my mind is to be able to provide and protect my family. You dig what I'm saying? That's very important. So when I found out through Todd, you know, Todd Millionaire, you dig? And we both follow him or whatever. And I actually, I'm going to have him on the show too, you dig? And he had tweeted a video of this guy, I think his name is Jay Morrison. He actually lives out in Jersey, and he's a real estate investor. And he was just simply breaking down, you know what I'm saying, strategies on how black people can start investing in real estate and start, like you said, having cash flow. Because that's very important to have that, you know, that side income and multiple streams of income. And he was talking about multifamily units. And then just recently, because I have a bank account with One United, you know, the black bank, shout out to them. They actually just gave me a customer service call. It was very nice. But they actually have, in their areas where they have branches, they have multifamily loans. You dig what I'm saying? So people are now able to take out loans for multifamily, you know, units and stuff like that. And they can start building wealth, which also just coincides with, you know, buying back the block and being able to renovate, you know, our neighborhoods or whatever, right? So, yeah, man, I got into it for that very reason. And I took my classes, you dig, and I learned a lot. I did my 75 hours to become a salesperson. And then I'm going for my state license this month, you dig, so I can just push forward in that way. So, in recent history or just history period, you know, what kind of real estate history, and as far as the black community is concerned, can, you know, do you know of?
To me, real estate in the black community has been, for some people, it's been a great thing. For some people, it's been a negative thing. A lot of people lost money in the bubble, when the bubble burst, in 2007, 2008. Some people still feel the effects of that now. Places like Prince George County, Maryland, a lot of their housing values still haven't recovered, and that's a wealthy black enclave in America. Going all the way back to when blacks first started to leave the South, going up to places like Chicago and New York City, things like blockbusting was going on, where, you know, you had investors going into these white neighborhoods shortly after, desegregation was going on, and they could no longer keep black people in certain neighborhoods, where they would scare white people out of selling their homes early and then jack up the prices and in turn sell it into black people who thought, you know, they were looping on up into a new society where whites were more accepting and things like that. Blacks have run into problems with the government just bulldozing whole communities and throwing up freeways. That happened in New York, that happened in Miami, just right through what would be considered Black Wall Street in certain communities. Blacks have had black people have had a spotty record with real estate. Some people it's great, some people it's horrible. Some people right now are enjoying their cash flow, but some people are still fucked up from loans that they took out in 2004.
And that was one of the things that I thought, you know, was a major factor too. You know, you heard, you know, we all know about the economic crisis of, 07 and 08. We were, you know, all there. And of course, it was, you know, based around or, you know, centered in real estate and housing. You dig what I'm saying? All of these crazy predatory loans, these subprime loans that were being, you know, handed out by, you know, by the droves. You dig what I'm saying? And I feel like that was a huge discouragement towards black people. And then as far as, you know, in the past with these people redlining, blockbusting, in all of these things in the black community. I think that also played a major part in the discouragement, because I think that's all it takes when it comes to black people. As long as you're able to demoralize a people, it's pretty much set in stone, almost at least, it's pretty much set in stone that they're not going to act. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to, you know, look at the damage and try to pick up the pieces or whatever, because it happened so dramatically. Like, we're talking about a highway going straight through their neighborhood. Like, it's hard to want to believe in developing a city when that happened to you. You dig what I'm saying? So that's the discouragement.
There was this guy, he named Robert Moses. The government, you know, contracted him to design certain highways. And he felt that in order for, you know, the government or white people to have back their city centers and things like that, they had to do urban renewal. And his form of urban renewal was knocking down whole neighborhoods and putting up highways so the white people could come back from the suburbs and get into the downtown areas. And then he was able to do that because black people didn't have a lot of voting power back then. In certain places, in certain cities, they couldn't vote at all when these decisions was going on. So the system that people talk about all the time, black people were never into certain meetings to decide some of these things because we want to discredit the system or stay away from white people when behind these closed doors, they are destroying whole communities and we just writing it off as we shouldn't negotiate or we shouldn't talk to them. And that has never worked for us ever.
That's a fact. And, you know, you see that now and, you know, in just recent times or whatever with, you know, all of these various black people, you know, going to meet Trump and things of that nature. And they're, I think Mark Lamont Hill called them mediocre Negroes or some shit like that. And people are calling everybody coons and Uncle Toms and shit. So if somebody bulldozed through your neighborhood and, you know what I'm saying, it just happened to you, you're not going to want to get involved. You dig what I'm saying? Because you feel like it's, you know, they're against you. And that should be, but, you know, on the opposite end, though, that should be the very reason why you do go to these meetings so you can fight, so you can combat these things. You know what I'm saying? You are an American citizen and you have to exercise your rights to the fullest of their potential. You dig what I'm saying? I feel like black Americans, a lot of times, really just go with the flow when it comes to the system. They just basically do what they're told. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's where that whole white supremacy, you know, ideology comes from in the present day, because of elders telling them about the bulldozer coming through in their neighborhoods. And, you know, a random citizen back then, I'm sure they weren't involved or whatever. So, of course, they're going to tell their kids, and their kids are going to tell their kids. And in 2017, now you just, as a kid, you think that, yo, they just bulldoze whenever they feel like it. And it's like, nah, they actually had a process that they have to go through legally to make that happen. And you are able to be a part of that process because you are an American citizen. And you should, because this stuff directly affects you. And, you know, that's the reason why I tell people to get involved in local politics and all of that. You dig what I'm saying?
The local politicians sometimes don't care because the people, their constituents, which are the people who vote for them, they don't really have a say in a lot of things because they don't pay property tax. That's a big thing. Black people are renters. You know, not all black people, but most black people, a lot of black people in the hood are renters. So they're not even, their rent isn't necessarily going towards the city lights and the police budget and the education budget and all that stuff. So a lot of people just don't care because these people aren't contributing to their, what do you call it, system or their way of life. So the lack of ownership is a huge problem because the lack of ownership trickles down into the bad policing and the shitty schools and the politicians who don't care, who are at the drop of a hat, switch a water supply and poison the whole city. Like, stuff like that happens because people aren't owners. People don't go to these council meetings. To me, all that stuff goes back to property and real estate. Because if you owned it, you would care. And most people just don't care because they own it. I mean, because they rent it.
Yo, man, that's something that, you know, oh, it makes sense, but it's not even something that I thought about on that level to, you know, all I thought about all of those thoughts individually, but I never thought to put it together. And you made a great point, bro. Like, people, when you look at areas that don't have this type of activity happen, you see a higher rate or a higher percentage of home ownership. You dig what I'm saying? Like, people matter. So, yeah, you can't just go over to, and this is black or white. Like, race doesn't matter here, because there are black people in nice neighborhoods who are more involved or do have home ownership. You dig what I'm saying? They matter. And if you are going to do that, then that affects everything else. You dig what I'm saying? So if you kill somebody in this household and, you know, it's the bread maker of the house, now they have to move out. You've had a tragedy on that block, so that's going to affect the property value. That's going to affect the politicians who have to be accountable for these people. Now, as humans, I'm not looking at somebody less than because they rent and don't own. You know what I'm saying? I'm not that type of a person. But when we're talking about paper, when we're talking about policy, when we're talking about, you know, just brass tacks, you do have to understand that the people who move and shake around here own and control things. And it doesn't have to be on some corrupt bullshit. Like, you can own your home at the very least. You dig what I'm saying? Like, you can go to these politicians and put their, you know, feet to the fire and hold them accountable for what they do and say, and be involved in the way your community is shaped. You dig what I'm saying? And I honestly didn't put those things together, you know what I'm saying, up until recently. And then, of course, you making that point now.
I live in Connecticut. The town I live in, you could buy a house for $5,000, and yeah, you have to put some work into it, or you could buy a house for $150,000. I feel like the average selling price is maybe $184,000. You can get you a nice single family, you know, half acre. It's decent. But, you know, it's not like by any standards. A town over, the house prices, the average house price is $650,000. That's just across the line. There was a billionaire who lived here, and he decided that he was moving his company and his family to Florida, and the state was fucking begging him on not to leave because his taxes and income taxes and property taxes went to a big portion of city and state budget. So if he wanted a favor or something to happen somewhere, he has a little bit more pull than a person who's just paying rent somewhere and getting an income tax check back. And people don't think about things like that.
For sure, man. So what examples of you know, positive cash flow, you know, real estate investment, do you know? What examples do you know? I had a couple on deck.
In certain areas, like the Philadelphia's or Atlanta's, Chicago, LA, in the hood, you can get a nice return on your money for investing in the hood. And a lot of people just write it off. Like, for instance, I've been looking at this six-family deal in my neighborhood. 20% down is like, how's it $250,000? 20% down would be $50,000. Put that on a normal 30-year mortgage. Your mortgage payments would be about $1,000 a month. Now, here, rent is about $1,000, $1,200, $900, depending on what you're getting. For a two-bedroom house, you're charging $1,200 a month in rent. Six units, you're getting $6,400 a month. Your expenses a month will maybe $2,000. Should be less than that, and you're cash flowing $4,500 a month. Now, that's just one six family. Now, if you multiply that a couple times, you do that twice, you're making $100,000 a year. Your return on your investment is pretty decent. You can sit on your ass and collect the rent, maybe take the garbage out there, but you can hire somebody to shovel the snow. Get one of your tenants to shovel the snow and bring the garbage cans to the front. You know, go into the deal with your cousins and your brothers and your friends, and everybody can share in the profits and just keep that going. But people don't know. They think it's too hard, and so they just don't care. And most people could own a home that they're renting. They just don't know.
Just for a quick example, how could somebody who is renting, you know, turn around and own their home?
The best thing that anybody in the whole entire country, no matter color, you don't even have to have arms or legs to do this. You know, certain people didn't know this existed. I didn't know this existed until I got a little bit more into real estate, but you can get an FHA loan for 3.5% down. So 3.5% down on a house that's $100,000 or $200,000 is something that everybody could afford, no matter if you make $10 an hour or you make $20 an hour. Like this, 3.5% down on $200,000 is $7,000. Most people could pull together $7,000. If you have a kid, you're getting $7,000 back in your income tax. So home ownership is possible, and that's not even with the best credit. I think your credit is supposed to be like 550 or like 620. That's pretty normal. So 3.5% down, FHA loan, you know, people should look into that, because that could be the first step, and you just roll that into another view. You do what you have to with that property, maybe sell it, roll that into another property, and just keep it going and going and going. You can go from somebody who was tired of their cost in their job to Donald Trump in a couple years just because you utilize certain tools that are out there.
Word, man. And that's, you know, one of the things that you said as far as coming together and doing it. You know what I'm saying? That's a major key to me. You dig what I'm saying? Like, to have everybody come together. You know what I'm saying? Your moms. Like, right now, my mom, her husband, and my sister are living together. And I was telling them to, you know, go together and come in and, you know, put their money together and on a property. You dig what I'm saying? So they can start having positive cash flow for themselves. It's very important. So when we're talking about Black America, when we're talking about a whole block, you dig what I'm saying? Like, people start to be more united in that way because they're doing business with each other. You dig what I'm saying? Now, with the hood, I feel like people should off rip just go to start with people that they trust first. You dig what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of like dissension certain times, or just people don't talk to their neighbors much. You dig? So start with people that you trust and you love. You dig what I'm saying? And you get an education on real estate, and then y'all going on a property. Like, now when I walk around the city, bro, all I see is these like buy house signs, you know, the street light poles and all of that. You dig what I'm saying? So it's like, I'm like, damn, now I'm noticing more, and it's a lot of open real estate in the hood, man. That's a fact. There's so many abandoned homes, there's so many, you know, people that are selling, yo, out here like crazy. And you know, I'm just getting my money up now, aggregating my funds now, you know, with all of the content that I'm pushing out, my book, you know, I'm using all of the funds that I'm getting to get properties this year. You feel me? That's like a major key. And I feel like once we start looking at Black America like that, coming together to buy a property throughout Black America, man, like, it's dope. Like, we have examples like Slim Thug, you know what I'm saying? He had the video with, you know, him driving around. I think it's called Boss Hog Construction or something like that. You know what I'm saying? And he's buying up property, renovating them, opening up businesses in his city. You feel me? Then you got Rick Ross opening up the franchises. And then Wendell Pierce, you feel me, from The Wire.
In
New Orleans.
New Orleans, that's where he started. Yeah, but now he's branching out to Baltimore. Yeah, he did his thing after Katrina, helping him out, you know, getting a lot of those properties back to living standards. And now he's going out to Baltimore trying to do the same thing.
Word.
New development on affordable housing.
Yep, man. And that's what I'm trying to get into, man. Like, being able to have nice homes in these neighborhoods. Because that, you know, that pretty much goes into my, you know, my next point. What do you think the landscape of Black American communities will look like once we start owning up our own properties?
I think not even on some white or Black thing, but I think the suburbs, period, is a standard of living that all places just fine. Most suburbs are you know, tight communities. These people pay property tax. Their snow is being plowed as soon as that shit touches the ground. Their trash is being taken out at 6, 7 a.m. You're not going out there, you know, cutting the grass at 6 o'clock in the morning because, you know, they have, you know, little ordinances to stop noises and things like that. So if the Black community just cleaned it up a little bit, and not even on some respectability politics type shit, but just took the extra step on making sure that bag of chips didn't get thrown on the sidewalk. You know, if you see siding coming down, you know, fix it up. If somebody need their porch painted, you know, help them paint it. If that fence is falling down, fix that fucking fence. Like, the black communities, I think people act a certain way and carry themselves a certain way because they think people don't care. They see trash everywhere when they go outside. Cops harassing them, the cops ain't saying what up and keeping it moving. Is this the standard of living that people in the inner city is comfortable with should change, and some people call it respectability politics. I call it, you know, just getting your shit together, and stuff doesn't have to look gross. Everybody should want to look nice. If you think of a nice community, people shouldn't shout out like, oh, that's how white people live, or that's Beverly Hills. Like, that should be everybody. I mean, I don't want shit in front of my house. I don't want people yelling in front of my house. That's just normal. So if black people just went in, own the corner store, so people had healthy, better food options instead of this nonsense that people keep eating and wonder why, you know, you got people dying at 45. If people owned and started going to the city council meetings and said, no, we don't want that one more liquor store in our area. Or if they went to the city council meetings and say, you know what, we're going to open our own charter school instead of you just throwing these shitty charter schools in here that's just taking away from our kids' education. Ownership comes with a lot of things, and ownership can definitely change what's going on in our communities. Because when we think of black, we shouldn't think loud or hip-hop or just police brutality or people with less than. Because a lot of people think black and they think poverty. But most people, people don't have the most money, but people are pretty comfortable in their living. So if we just cleaned it up a little bit, life would be different.
Yeah, I agree, man. When it comes to that respectability politics, you know, people already know the way I feel. I feel like it's not respectability politics. It's pretty much just treating people like a decent human being because you want to be treated like a decent human being. You dig what I'm saying? And when I look around and I see the landscape, I see the same things, man. I see how just once you become more involved in your area, it does start to be cleaned up because, you know, you have ownership. People are going to be more likely to clean up the chips or whatever. You know, that rent versus ownership thing is a real dynamic in somebody's mind, yo, where they really feel like, yo, I could be evicted or I could be kicked out or this ain't mine. They don't really have any pride of ownership. So if there are bags of chips and shit outside or whatever, that ain't my problem. They going to clean it up. And then if somebody moves into this neighborhood and they see that, yo, it's dirty, it's like, well, I'm not going to clean it up. It's always just going to, it's just going to get dirty all over again. I said that in my book, you know what I'm saying? So that's just the psychological effects of just living in areas like that.
People say that, you know, real estate is location, location, location. Where if we look at it, the hoods that are in America are some of the best locations in the country, like West Baltimore. You can get right into the city, right into the middle of the city from the hoods, what are now ghost towns and totally empty blocks. Chicago, it's outside Chicago, fucking beautiful. But it's worse than Iraq right now. The only thing that's not happening is bombs falling from the sky. And if you gave those little niggas helicopters, that would probably be happening. But if black people just held on to the properties that are in their communities or in the communities that their cousins lived in, or their aunts live in, you'll get a lot more wealth. Real estate is a big thing. You know, it's a lot of money in real estate. And maybe it doesn't all need to be single-family houses. Maybe 20 people in the community could come together and build a nice 150-unit condo in what used to be where you lived at. You know, take hold of your own gentrification. You don't have to worry about, you know, that dude from the next suburb over coming in and tearing down where you live at. You know, gentrification is only happening because things like people not owning. How can you be mad when the owner of your house sells to somebody else that wants to knock it out? Right? This is his investment. Yeah, it's where you live at, but at the end of the day, he bought it to make money from it.
And I think a lot of people don't take that into consideration when they do complain about gentrification. You feel me? Like, yeah, they're moving you guys out, but that's because they can. You dig what I'm saying? Like, they can do that because you were just a tenant. You're just somebody occupying a space. So it's not your landlord's responsibility to find you a house. You know what I'm saying? Or have or have a place to give you to stay. You know what I'm saying? It's the landlord's responsibility to make sure that while you're in here, while you're able to be in here, that you and your needs are met. But other than that, yeah, like, I have no obligation to this house to you for you to stay in here for any amount of time other than what the lease says. That's just business. And I think a lot of people, you know, look at these things from a, you know, a personal perspective, like they did it to you. Like, nah, if it was a white person in there, a Hispanic person in there, they would have sold for the same amount, because it's not about, you know, the tenant. You know what I'm saying? It's about the investment property. You dig what I'm saying? And people just need to be able to focus on, you know, more economics, man, more business, and be more business savvy, because it's happening all around us.
People have the business savvy. Look, you know, people do the best selling things. People sell drugs amazingly. People sell hair amazingly. It's just that people don't take it to the next step. I feel like a lot of, I tweeted this the other day, I feel like black people don't have the cutthroat business savvy that other people have. Instead of, oh, hey, I'm going to come up with my own t-shirt line and slap a logo on it, how about you figure out how to take over a factory and Adidas or North Face or whoever could come to you and have you making the t-shirts for them, or making the book bags for them, or making whatever. I think people don't ever take it to that next level. You have to take it beyond just thinking about, hey, I want to make money for myself, or I need my kids to have a nice house. How are we going to take what we're going to do and maybe employ 50 people or employ 100 people? Or how do we take the things that we know and take it to that next level? Because we have people who do it, whether it's our Donahue Peoples, back in the day, Reginald Lewis. You know, some people have that savvy that take it to the next level and play amongst the big boys. But a lot of people get lost in their neighborhood and neighborhood drama and family drama. And sometimes you just gotta say, yo, fuck all that. Like, I'm sorry, sometimes I can't hang out with y'all. Sometimes I can't look cool, you know. Sometimes it's not some free gear involved. But I think if we took our savviness to the next level, a lot of things will change. You said on one of your podcasts before, being on Twitter, no more free content. Well, what if not only if we had shows like Black-ish, but what if we owned the studio that made the shows? What if we had the funding for the shows? What if all that shit was ours, the whole entire system? Like, we don't have the whole entire system. We cool with just doing a little bit and letting somebody else make the lion's share of the money, where I'd rather have all the money and pay some employees to handle the business.
Just want to take a break from these solutions to speak on another form of solutions. In book form, Black America Inc., A $1 trillion Nation by A.R. Morton, aka yours truly. So, by now you guys already know how serious this book is. You've seen the reviews, you've seen people talking about it, people sharing photos, sharing quotes from the book. You know, people are loving this book. And it's because it's all about solutions, and people, more than anything, when they're going through something, desperately want and need solutions. So that's what I provided for people, you know, for a very affordable price. All you gotta do to get these solutions is go on down to Amazon.com and get yourself a copy of Black America Inc., A $1 trillion Nation, man. And I promise, I can guarantee you that the things that are in that book are going to enrich your life the day you read it. Because these solutions are practical, and they can be implemented in your household, with your family, by yourself, and you'll learn from it. That's what everybody wants to do, man. Knowledge is power, man. Ignorance is weakness. Black America Inc., $1 trillion Nation. Yeah, man, and that's exactly what I said, man. And we just basically trying to do it in the reverse. You dig what I'm saying? Like, now that we know that we're the talent and we can get hired and booked or whatever, let's flip it. Because we know what talent is, because I'm talented, you know what I'm saying? Instead of LeBron playing, once he retires, he'll be an owner, not a coach, not a, you know what I'm saying, like an actual owner, you know what I'm saying? Denzel or Will Smith, they can create their own film studio. Like, now we can flip it because they've been in the industry long enough, they've gained knowledge, skills, and experience. Now it's time to flip it.
We have the capital, we have the know-how. Everybody, when you put black people into situations, they're the best at their field. Ben Carson was the best brain surgeon. Will Smith is one of the best actors. Smith or can't come together with Jamie Foxx and all these other people in own a film studio. You have people like Tyler Perry doing it, but we all feel differently about Tyler Perry.
Dog, like... And it's like, you know, on the business side, I give it up to Tyler Perry. But as far as the content, like, that's another dichotomy. It's like, okay, you did it. You feel me? You got Tyler Perry Studios. Shout out to that. But it's like, nigga, your content is trash. Like,
exactly. I feel like another thing, we
Kind of
forget about Tyler Perry. Like, there's enough black people to make enough black people to target to with content. I think Black Ish is a great example because it puts, you know, it shows black family and the things that go on in the black household. And it shows it without it being too, like, where you could bring other people in, where, like, it's not too much Ebonics or too much slang talk and too much things that only we know, only we feel.
I mean, I dig it. I know, like, a lot of people feel squeamish when they start talking about that because it sounds like some, you know, like some coon type shit to say, like, you know, like, what you mean, no Ebonics and shit like that. Like, that's our swag. And it's like, no, man, basically, it's just to be more universal, man, to be, you know, more versatile in your delivery. Not saying get rid of your Ebonics, you feel me? Like, I say you feel me after every other word, you feel me? So I don't, like, I do it unconsciously sometimes, but... You know what I'm saying? That's a part of who I am, you dig? But at the same time, I understand that when I watch these quote-unquote white shows, they can integrate all other races and stuff like that and still be a genuinely white person. They're not trying to act black or act Hispanic or nothing like that. They're who they are, and everybody else is who they are, and it's still a funny show or still a gripping movie or whatever. So it's just being able to be more universal. And then I feel like the creativity that we have, as far as the actors that we love, like Denzel, like, he is a universal actor. You know, Viola Davis is a universal actress. Like, so they're able to do these things. So it's not like some respectability politics bullshit. It's just that, yes, we need to start catering to ourselves. Hidden Figures is not full of Ebonics or whatever. You dig what I'm saying? So, like, we have the prominent, you know, vocabulary. We have the dope presence. Let's just monetize it. Let's be the ones at the head of it. We just have to stop being so comfortable with being employees, man. Being employees and customers. You know what I'm saying? In my book, I said that these major corporations is profiting from us three ways. From the employee, you know, being hired, shopping with them, and then the inmates, the insourcing. You know what I'm saying? So three ways off top, these corporations are making money off of black people. And we need, not the third one, because, you know, I don't fuck with prison labor. And I really wish that more and more of our black men and women, you know, get released and rehabilitate and, you know, start, you know, contributing to the black American economy and community and get back in there. You feel me? Like, I don't, you know, I got my own personal thing with that. And it's a whole episode that I'm going to do about it, I'm sure.
You just said on Twitter, like, people need to stop going to jail, stop committing crimes. Like, these things just have to... We just have to change it up a little bit. That's it. Just change it up a little bit. Right? The black experience is this crazy thing, and it's crazy that people as young as us, so many generations later, are trying to find solutions into problems that we legit inherited. None of this shit we started, we didn't have a hand in none of this. We all deal in the cards that we are dealt, but it seems like now with our generation that we just want solutions because we see that there's no reason for none of this stuff to be going on. And we all have our own ways of going about it. But, like, if everybody just took constructive criticism and just got off their high horse and came together for one common goal, everybody would see we all just want to be living comfortably, enjoying ourselves without having to worry about money or police shooting us or gentrification or student loans or stupid, bad advertising because they want to take our words. Like, we shouldn't have to worry about things like that.
That's a fact, man. That's a fact. That's, you know, I totally agree with you. You feel me? Like, I do my shit, you know, I don't make any excuses for my tweets. I say the shit that I say to be edgy, to be provocative. It's satire. You know what I'm saying? That's the way I tweet, you dig? Anytime that I tweet in my positive shit, niggas literally don't respond. That's who I am, but niggas are not attracted to that when I tweet about that stuff, you know what I'm saying? And I don't do it just to get you know, retweets or whatever. I do it for interaction. So I'm telling people, like, yo, you could do this. You know, I encourage y'all to do this, do that, whatever. I get, like, two or three retweets. I tell niggas that they pussy for being scared of white supremacy. Now here come a bunch of men talking about, I'm not pussy. What you mean? The white man is so scary and shit like that. And I'm like, all right, nigga, you still a hoe. Like, you still soft. Like, get out of here. There's mad things that we can do. And another thing that I agree with you with is that, yo, on everything, even with all of that, you know, bickering or whatever, me making fun of these niggas, everybody wants the same thing. And that's the shit that kind of, like, throws me off because, like, bro, I'm trying to give you, like, the straight main road to get there. Real estate, wealth building, changing your diet around, et cetera, et cetera. Like, this is how you get to what you want. You feel me? And it's not saying that my way is the only way. That's why I try to give multiple solutions out there. Like, my way ain't the only way. It works for me. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just going to disseminate information as I get it because I'm trying to help. But, you know, niggas are trying to fight you. But that's all good, man, because there's people like me and you who are building and all of that. So it's all good, man. I feel like it comes with the territory, man. People are going to disagree with you. You know what I mean?
Exactly. People are going to disagree. And I always say that some people just can't be helped. Some people are just so far gone, man, or so far lost or stuck in their ways that they can't be helped. So, I mean, all right, that's fine. If you don't want to own something, you can rent. You can rent. I'll provide nice apartments. You need a job. You can come get a job with me. Because, hey, somebody's going to do it. And the other person that's going to do it don't care about you. They don't care if you need 10 extra minutes to get to work because you're going to drop your daughter off to work. They don't care about certain things that you know is going on in your household or your community that's affecting you. They don't care about that. But black people hanging out or being around or socializing with white people became a standard, and it became something that, in order to think that you were doing good, black people wanted to do, is, you know, be around other cultures, and that came at the detriment of our culture. Like, we totally abandoned any type of progressive black action by integrating, which is sad to say, but that shit fucked up our community for years to come.
No, deadass, bro, I literally just did an episode about integration. So, no, I totally agree with you. You dig what I'm saying? And it goes back to what you just said. Like, we didn't do this, yo. I was born in 1989, G. Like, this isn't, as far as the landscape of what we seeing with black America, yo, our elders should have done more. Like, this, that's it. We inherited this shit. And that's why I can't waste 40 years of my life writing books about the problem or writing poems about the problem. I can't do that, bro. Like, I'm trying to make sure I contribute what I know based upon the history. Like, it took me, I'm not gonna front, it's mad authors, like, son or lady, I don't know, had given me a list of these black authors and black books that I should read based upon oppression and talking about racism. And I'm like, no thanks. Like, I'm sorry, like, I respect to them, I'm pretty sure those books are impactful to you, but I don't need to keep hearing about the problem, bro. I live in 2017, I want to be a billionaire, I want to help my community, I want to move forward. Respect to them. Once I get to a comfortable place where I got my own library and my nice big home that my company built and all of that other stuff, I will have my library and I will sit down on a nice Friday afternoon or Sunday morning and read that book. But until then, bro, I got work to do. I can't worry about all of that other stuff because those same people writing these books could have bought property too. You know what I'm saying? Like, they could have been implementing these solutions too. Like, this is not so new, yo. We had billionaires and millionaires all throughout black American history, yo.
And a lot of those billionaires and millionaires, they grew up or had the mindset of, I don't really care what's going on race-wise or what white people got to say. As long as I'm doing my work, my work turns into gold, and people don't think about that. If you put in the work, if somebody's going to just fight out and say, no, you can't excel because you're black, you got to handle that problem with that person, because the money don't care what color you are. The money don't know if you a male, or the money don't care if you got two arms or two legs or no arms and no legs. The money don't care. You're going to get the money, you're going to get the success just off your work. And if people focused on that, Twitter in 2009 wasn't, I'm oppressed. Like, this is post-Trayvon Twitter. It's totally different. I live in Connecticut, and the black and white lines are pretty drawn in the sand there's whole white towns, whole black towns, you know, there's black and white towns, there's extremely rich people, there's extremely poor people. Well, I've never felt racism. Nobody ever not held the door for me or said thank you when I held the door for them. And the only time I ever had a problem with a cop, shit, it was actually a Spanish female cop. So I think we're planting seeds of racism in people that doesn't need to be there. Where we should just focus on excelling, because the people who have always excelled, no matter how white the system was.
That's a fact, because one thing I do know, man, that money is the main constant here. People die. You know what I'm saying? Ideologies die. But money has always been here, and that's what has been the number one next to violence. Money and violence are the two motivators in American culture, period. If you kill a bunch of people, you got somebody's attention. And if you make a lot of money, you got somebody's attention. You dig what I'm saying? But as far as just bickering, moaning, groaning, and complaining, they could easily turn a deaf ear to that, because it literally affects, it does not affect their lives at all. At all.
Whoever has the most money, you can dictate whatever you want. Like, the money, which, you know, you can get it from real estate, very easy. Money can dictate whatever you feel like. You can start think tanks. You can start different organizations that give money to politicians. Money is what changes the world. Nobody cares about your color. If you had $1 billion and you're a black dude and you wanted to make your way into American politics, you could. People don't care about the money. And your ideology could prevail, just like Donald Trump. If you had the money to sustain yourself and your beliefs and people felt secure in what you were saying, we don't have a lot of people who think that, hey, I'm going to get this money, I'm going to change it for my people. A lot of people think capitalism is bad, which is, all right, socialism doesn't work at all. Communism sucks. I'd rather live in America than Cuba or North Korea or Venezuela any day.
Facts. You know what I'm saying? Like, these niggas, they be, I don't know when that happened, bro. Like, my entire life, when anything that was pertaining to the black struggle, it was always about getting that money. So I don't know where all of this dismantling capitalism came from, bro. But I'm like, yo, y'all wildin'. Like, like, I don't care how y'all feel about white people, because I don't care about how white people feel about me. You know what I'm saying? An individual talking to me is the only time I care about that. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm talking to that person on a one-on-one basis. That I don't care about generalizations. You dig what I'm saying? So it's like, when I'm hearing capitalism, like, y'all wildin'. Like, y'all, everything that y'all love in this country is based upon capitalism. Like, you tweeting me from your iPhone with Wi-Fi because of capitalism, my nigga. Like, what are you talking about? Like, why are you trying to... And then, when they say that, bro, like, they literally never have a system to replace it. So I want to know what they're talking about when they're trying to dismantle capitalism. That's wild. Like, they'll have dismantling capitalism in the tweets, and then they'll be like, they'll link off to their Etsy page and shit.
Exactly. Like, you have to sell something to get around in America. Yeah, you could barter, but who's bartering? Like, let's, you know, create a product, sell that product, get the money, use the money as a tool to do other things. The money is just a tool. People say you shouldn't fall in love with money, and money is the root of all evil. Money's a tool. Like, you can use the tool for evil, you can use the tool for good. If I made $1 billion and gave it away to kids without a top lip, that would be a great thing. But if I use that same $1 billion to close Planned Parenthoods across the country, that would be a bad thing. We have to stop focusing and generalizing on this is bad, this is the... Things have circumstances, not everything's the same. It's because one person does it the wrong way doesn't mean you have to do it that way all the time. You can do it your own way. Now, don't say capitalism is bad, because people who are billionaires think capitalism is great, and capitalism affords them their, you know, comfortable 15,000 square foot house while they employ 50,000 people. You couldn't tell them that them earning $1 billion isn't good when they pay 50,000 people every 2 weeks for their job. I think people just need to pick and choose their arguments, pick and choose their situations better, and life will just turn out better.
Lyrically, I'm
untouchable. Just another quick reminder, man. Make sure you get your copy of Black America Inc. at Amazon.com right now. Full of solutions, full of all of the good stuff, full of all of the answers to your problems, man. Full of stats, full of history, dope stories. It's a black business directory in there. It's a wealth building budget in there. It's pretty much everything you need, man. It's the number one reference guide for black Americans today. I'm making that claim. So everybody under the sound of my voice, make sure you get yourself a copy of Black America Inc., A $1 trillion Nation by yours truly, A.R. Morton, a.k.a. Doe Dudes, man. Black America Inc.
I haven't always known this, but I haven't always felt like this. Like, I mean, I'm 25. A couple years ago, I was oblivious to this stuff. I had no idea what was going on. YouTube is a great resource. Like, I went without working for a while, and that whole entire time, I just watched every video I can about real estate development, places like Yale and MIT and Columbia. They tell whole classes online, like everything. Their syllabus, the videos from the class, the reading content. So, like, you can take Ivy League classes in your house, buying the books from Barnes & Noble, watching the videos on YouTube. Like, the possibilities are endless, and the shit is just literally right there.
Dog. That is so ill, and I'm going to need all of those links just for knowledge purposes to have that on deck.
If you want to learn anything, just Google it. And if somebody has said something in public that you could watch a video, there's a conference somewhere that somebody said something, there's TED Talks, podcasts. People like to talk, especially when you get people who've done good in their life, a lot of success, they will tell you everything. And that goes on, but you know, people are too busy tweeting black men versus black women instead of Googling something good and learning about it. I mean,
dog, and this is what I'm saying. Like, this is why I can't take the oppression talk. Like, when we're talking about oppression, I'm thinking people not being allotted to read, not being allotted to do certain things. Like, you niggas have the autonomy of somebody. Like, yo, you are an American citizen in the 21st century. You have so many resources at your feet for free. Literally everything that I've ever been passionate about, bro, I did it from just self-teaching, bro. I was selling t-shirts. I sold mixtape CDs. Then I moved on to selling motherfucking drugs. Then I moved on to selling graphic design. Then I started designing fitteds for New Era. All of this stuff was just from the muscle, bro. I had a clothing line with my man Courtney. I still do. You dig what I'm saying? I built a business with my wife. I'm getting into, you know, stocks and real estate and all of this stuff just because I was interested in it. And now I'm good. So it wasn't like I went to some prestigious place or whatever. I just got it out the mud myself. So it's like, that's why it's easy for me to tell you niggas that oppression is not happening, my nigga. Because not one time in my pursuit of trying to get into these places, nothing blocked me. Nothing about my race blocked me. I may have to have paid for something and I couldn't afford it at the time. But that was it. That was my only barrier. Other than that, I was good, my nigga. Wasn't nobody stopping me. So if I'm living in the hood and I'm telling you I'm learning about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, real estate investments, you know, opening up businesses, bro, like, I've been hustling my whole life, you feel me? So if I'm telling you this, bro, believe me, because you're hearing that the world is fucked up from a college-educated person who lived in the burbs their whole life, who really doesn't understand the dynamics of what ownership versus rent is and wealth and income and all of these other principles. They just have a good college education and a good cushy job, and they saw a bunch of videos online and now they're reacting because they Googled a bunch of oppression shit. Instead, they should have been Googling, like you said, a bunch of wealth building shit. And that's exactly why I push what I push, until I don't care if I sound like a broken record, because this is the type of shit that niggas do on the bullshit. Niggas talk about Chris Brown and Soulja Boy for hours. They'll talk about all of this bullshit for hours. Nigga, $200 dates has been happening on Twitter with the same people for 5 years straight, bro. 5 years straight.
Exactly. And nobody's saying either. Everybody's saying that's too much or you can't afford it. Nobody's saying, you know what, you know, sometimes I get paid and my girl deserves a $200 day. Maybe you can't afford it, but guess what? Your girl been working just as hard as you and you think that she needs that $200 day. Like, stop arguing about stupid shit. Like, we've all spent $200 on dumb stuff. Let's not worry about the $200, just guess what? If the $200 is a problem, you have bigger problems. Like, you should, we're adults, we shouldn't be arguing and chit-chatting about $200 dates. Because that's not what adults do. That's whack. And if you think your girl isn't worth a $200 date, then that's not your girl. Get another girl. That's obviously not working. Like, these conversations are so remedial that you shouldn't be having them. If the chick ain't worth a $200 date, don't entertain her.
Duh.
If the nigga ain't bring on a $200 date, then don't date him. Because the nigga obviously don't have good taste in where to eat.
Then niggas are trying to argue that, like, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, yeah, just at the basic level, bro, like the level of bullshit that grown people in their 30s, late 20s are talking about. I'm just like, yo, y'all serious? Y'all don't have kids? And the thing is, like, the only time they do want to talk serious about some shit is when it's oppression talk. So it's like either we bullshitting, partying, and laughing, or we crying, complaining, and hurt. And that's, I'm like, yo, this is wild, son, to the point that you have to find a lens. You got to find a dough, or, you know what I'm saying, Hotep's period, just people free-thinking people, because it's like, yo, these motherfuckers that have you thinking that your life is to party on the weekends and go through hell Monday through Friday, bro. You dig what I'm saying? I'm not living like that, man. Fuck that.
You know, we used to, you know, when it's summertime, cookouts and hanging out with your friends, cousins coming over, and those type of things. But maybe now, when the family get together, somebody throws out, "Hey, I've been invested in this. You know, I think everybody should hop on." Or, "Hey, I've been looking at property over here. I could use another $5,000, $10,000 for a down payment. We want to get in on that." And one of the biggest, another big problem is the rap music. If you listen to rap all the time, and I just realized this, is that the shit is good for like a Thursday to Sunday type of situation. But like Monday to Friday, you're not popping bottles. You're trying to get the money to pop the bottles. So listening to hip hop too much that shit is not good. And this is coming from somebody, I'll die for hip hop because I feel that it's the essential black culture piece, but that shit is celebration music, and niggas don't got nothing to be celebrating. your kids' schools suck. Somebody just got locked up for some nonsense. Like, there's no reason to be celebrated. Like, if rap music came from a more Monday through Friday type of situation, like, you know, how hard it is with your work, how you got to change certain things, then that would be different, and people would get a different perspective. But if people only thinking about cashing out on Fridays and bottles and enjoying themselves on vacations, like, you're not even thinking about work. Like, you're not even thinking about how to get the money for this shit, because all you can think about is, I gotta be somewhere 9 to 5, a half hour lunch, soon as I get out of here at 5:30 on Friday, I'm gonna enjoy myself and then back in the system. People aren't using their 5 to whatever they go to sleep to better themselves, which is what people should be doing.
Word, man. That's a fact, man. That's a fact. I always say that shit, man. Like, I feel like niggas literally live their lives according to these songs. Or just, not according to the songs, but according to the culture. So, yeah, investing is now, you know, in recent times, is becoming more popular. And you hear it in Buy Back the Block. And, you know, I listen to Spitta a lot. Like, Spitta is the only nigga that I really listen to when it comes to rap music, outside of my niggas or, you know, people sprinkled here and there. But Spitta, you know, the reason I listen to him is because he don't be on that shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, he talks about is hustling and getting and acquiring money and investing money. Like, he been talking about investment since I was a teenager, you feel me? So I fuck with music like that, cause that's what get me going, man. That shit get me hyped. That's my shit, you know what I mean? But yeah, like that blow it, like, you know, I saw a video like 21 Savage, my nigga had $250,000 on him, cash. You dig what I'm saying? And dude was like, yo, what you about to spend it on? He was like, chains and shit. I was like, damn, son.
No, exactly. And, you know, if 21 Savage was to give me that $250,000, we could buy maybe 6 houses in on the street that he grew up on. Like, that's, like fuck the chain. Like, literally, fuck the chain. Billionaires don't wear chains because they're pulling up in a big-ass private jet. They're pulling up on their yacht. They're pulling up in their chauffeur-driven Rolls Royce. They don't need the fucking chain. Like, they don't have to spend the money. money on remedial stuff. Yeah, black people like to look good. Yeah, people, oh, you know, we was kings and we had gold in Africa. All right, cool. But guess what? Niggas had property and assets in Africa, too. Niggas don't think about things like that. We have to stop worrying about looking good. You can look good without the wild bling, you know. If you want to spend $1,000 on a pair of jeans, maybe you should go invest in buying a corner store in your hood first. So maybe you own all the stores in your hood. We don't think about ownership the way other people do, and that's bad. Like, that doesn't work. If you could throw $100,000 in a strip club or $75,000 on a chain, whatever, go buy a multifamily first. So that multifamily puts out fucking $50,000 a year, and you getting paid for your spending of your money. You have these rappers making hundreds of thousands of dollars a month, and what are they doing with their money? Is it just sitting in bank accounts and they're earning less than 1%? They're not really investing in anything. They're getting licensing deals for all this shit, so when people say, oh, I own this bottle or this bottle, it's just like, they're paying you to say that. You don't own the factories, you don't own none of that stuff. The only person that owns bottles that black people drink on a regular is Jay-Z, and that's because he bought the company that produces Ace of Spades. But other than that, there's no liquor that black people have ownership in that people drink. And I think Diddy owns part of the De Leon brand, too. But Hov is the only person that owns a brand of alcohol 100%. Like, we don't own shit. Like, we don't own the clubs that people go and party at, the Lives and the One Oaks. Like, you don't own none of that shit. We love saying the name of stuff that we don't own. Like, you have a couple club promoters down in Atlanta that are doing their things, like you see on Instagram, like Ruggs, that be with Fab. He owned a club that a lot of rappers go to. But in New York City, there's no black club owners. In Miami, there's no black club owners. You have promoters promoting these big clubs. Like, ownership is what we should be worried about. Find people who are doing what you want to do. Like, that's what I did back a few years ago when I had a bunch of free time. I found people who, you know, had the cars that I wish I could have or had the house I wish I could live in. All right, and see what they do. How did they get into that industry? How did they become the CEO of that company? Oh, they had a partner? Look that partner up. See what the partner was doing. If now you're deep into it, you're like, oh, I want to know exactly how this works. All right, YouTube it. If you need to figure out certain things that maybe you can find on YouTube or Google, hit Barnes & Noble. Try to find a book. If you're looking for a book, type in the book name into Google and put PDF at the end. Somebody probably uploaded that shit illegally on the internet, and you can find a book right there for free. Like, there's a lot of things you can do. Drive around your neighborhood. Write down all the houses that are vacant or bad, deferred maintenance. Send a letter to the owner. Say, hey, you want to buy? Maybe you can get some owner financing going on, or you could wholesale a deal to an investor in the area. The opportunities are endless. You just have to go with them.
All right, man. I thank you for, you know, for being on, man. I'm glad to have you on. You dropped some bars, man. I really think you, you put me onto something. You dig what I'm saying? Even more stuff. So thank you for, you know, coming throughout, you know, and doing the show with me, man.
Yeah, one last thing. I definitely want to tell people to check out Charles on Twitter, you know, at Todd Millionaire. You all follow him. But the investment club that he got going on is gold. I'm a part of it. And we just try to show black people that there's more things that you can do. There's other things that are cool. You know, there's ways to build up your capital. And we just try to show that group economics is the way to go about it.
Absolutely, absolutely, man. So, yeah, man, where can the people follow you at, man?
You can follow me on Twitter, Cashflowing Assets. I'm usually on there talking shit, throwing out some gems, usually just aggressively attacking people's ideas I see across my timeline. But in the middle of some of that, I might throw out an article or two, a video or two that people should click on. And, you know, come follow me. I got some gems for everybody.
Word, man. Thanks again, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yeah.
Get down with them suckers when I'm high as fuck.
Yeah, man. Welcome back. That was episode 16, Real Estate, featuring my man Lance, man. I really hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys caught some gems in there, man. I hope you caught the gems in there. I hope you caught the power in that episode, man. Run it back and run it back again. Listen to that, man. Soak that knowledge in and make sure that you get that there's always going to be solutions out there, man. So again, final thoughts. Like I said, man, I'm really trying to buy back the block, bro. Like, before even Ross made that song, my nigga, like, I really wanted to, like, really change the way my area look, man. Real talk, I'm not happy about the way my neighborhood functions right now. So instead of complaining, even instead of moving, I'm going to stay, build it up, own it and control it, and be able to be responsible for my people and myself to make sure that we have a great community to live in, man. That's what it's about, yo. Nothing else is important, yo. Being able to build yourself up, build your community up. That's what we're doing for 2017 and beyond. So thank you again, Lance, for coming through and dropping these gems on me and the people. Thank you guys for listening to the episode. Make sure you guys, you know, like, subscribe, you know, all of that dope stuff. Follow me on SoundCloud, follow me on Twitter, all of that dope stuff, man. Just buy the book, man. Don't forget, buy Black America Inc., man. We talk about real estate in that. We talk about the FHA loans and all of that in there, man. So get that book, man. Get that knowledge. And as always, man, stay intelligent, stay rebellious. Squad.
In the mail with the shift kit, Oceanside. Doors open wide, trying not to be seasick. Plotting in the tropics, thinking about how I'm gonna run ish back in the States when I leave.
Sound good, ain't gotta be seen, sound ready. Ain't nothing changed but the address. Ain't nothing changed but the address. And we still on the same old niggas switching the scripts. We still playing the same role. And so ain't nothing changed but the address.